It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrer.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we find out what it's like to go from being exonerated for a crime you didn't commit to being a lawyer representing others who may also be wrongfully convicted people.
First, President Trump's newest immigration ban is facing its first major legal challenge after Hawaii filed a lawsuit against it in federal court this week. The newest order bans travelers, immigrants, and refugees from six Muslim-majority countries.
Members of President Trump's cabinet have stood by the updated executive order, but the Hawaiian Attorney General has called it, quote, the Muslim ban 2.0, and the state's lawsuit calls into question whether the order is constitutional.
This afternoon, the Attorney General of Washington announced an upcoming suit against that ban, and the Attorney General of New York plans to join Washington's suit. Nahal Tusi is with us now to talk about the lawsuits and the new ban. She's a foreign affairs reporter at Politico. Nahal, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get into the new lawsuits, Nahal, this is the second executive order from President Trump on this issue, placing restrictions on travelers. We know one difference. Iraq is now off the list, seven countries down to six. What other big differences are there in the two incarnations of this order?
Well, generally speaking, it appears to be more tailored, more limited. It doesn't ban Syrian refugees indefinitely. It simply bans all refugees temporarily. You're right, Iraq's been taken off the list, but there are still six other predominantly Muslim countries. They've also removed language that appeared to give a preference to religious minorities, basically Christians, who would have been seeking refugee status. And also they made it very clear that the order does not apply to green card holders, also known as lawful permanent residents. So generally speaking, they tried to do this. They insist, the administration does, that the earlier order was perfectly legal and perfectly fine. But, you know, they've also put this out, and it suggests through their actions that perhaps they were a bit worried about some of what was in the earlier order.
This was one intent, it seems like, was to make it more lawsuit-proof, I guess. We're seeing now these new legal challenges trying to stop this before it starts next week. What are the grounds for that challenge from Hawaii?
Well, Hawaii just feels like it's basically the same type of general setup in terms of discrimination against Muslims and others, even if it doesn't necessarily specify that in the new language. And my understanding is Washington State also is filing a motion that basically are saying that at the end of the day, it's still the same thing, and they haven't quite proven why we need to do this to protect the United States.
And what was the reasoning for Iraq coming off of that list?
Well, this is really interesting. It kind of goes to show how having more political pull in Washington can make a difference. Iraqis argued that, look, we are actually your allies in the fight against Islamist terrorism. We are helping you fight the Islamic State in our country. And they just felt like it was very insulting on a lot of levels to them. And technically, Iraq is an ally of the United States, and to be put on the list was pretty alarming to a lot of people. At the same time, a lot of folks who work for the Pentagon and for state were particularly alarmed at Iraq's inclusion because so many Iraqi translators have been waiting for visas, special visas, to come to the United States because they had helped U.S. troops, in some cases for years, in Iraq. And so they felt like this was such a slap in the face to people over there who had been helping the United States.
Talking to Nahal Tusi, foreign affairs reporter at Politico, looking at President Trump's newest incarnation of the executive order, the so-called travel ban, now affecting six Muslim-majority countries. Nahal, in a recent piece, you wrote that there could be a spillover effect in this order that could affect travelers from a lot of other countries and maybe ultimately travelers from the United States going elsewhere. What do you see there?
Yeah, this is one of the most fascinating and overlooked part of this order, which is that there are provisions in it that say that the U.S. is going to be looking at our visa agreements with every country all over the world and seeing if they stand up, if all of these countries are giving us the information that we want in order to vet all of their citizens. And if there are any cases where we feel like we're not getting the information we need, then those countries, too, might be added to the banned list, basically. And also, one other thing to note is that those six countries that are temporarily banned from sending their people here, they are supposed to meet new conditions so that they are no longer banned. But the problem is that some some of those countries, Syria, for example, or Yemen, their state structure barely exists. They're in the mired in wars, or in the case of Iran, they don't have diplomatic relations with the U.S. So for a lot of countries, the idea that they will ever meet these conditions that the Trump folks are going to be placing on them is highly questionable. So some of these temporary bans can end up being permanent, and a number of other countries could wind up being placed on the ban list. And at the same time, because visa programs are supposed to be reciprocal, other countries in the world might say, well, you know what, if you're going to demand our people's information, then we want more information from your people. And it could just end up backfiring and leading to a lot of retaliation. And so American travelers might, in the long run, get affected.
That'll be a part of the story to watch in the future. I want to give a listen to Attorney General Jeff Sessions talking about the ban and the case to be made for it as part of our national security efforts.
The Department of Justice believes that this executive order, just as the first executive order, is a lawful and proper exercise of presidential authority. This Department of Justice will defend and enforce lawful orders of the President consistent with the core principles of our Constitution. The executive is empowered under the Constitution and by Congress to make national security judgments and to enforce our immigration policies in order to safeguard the American public.
Nihal, can you talk about this travel ban as a security measure? I mean, most of the countries here, a lot of the countries are failed states, plus or minus a little bit. There is definitely terrorist activity in many of these countries. Iran, the Attorney General has pointed out, classified as a state sponsor of terrorism. Do these changes, does this travel ban impact our national security?
Well, in the sense that if you simply don't let people in to the United States, then you are, yes, reducing the potential threat to the U.S. down to zero, because those people just can't come here. But in the long run, actually, there's an argument that it could hurt American national security as well, because you're basically fanning anti-American sentiment. Take the case of Iran. Like, yes, Iran is considered a state sponsor of terrorism, but Iranian citizens themselves, for the most part, are not engaged in terrorism. And among the six countries, Iranians make up more than half of the number of people who get visas to come to this country, and in some cases to live here. A lot of them are just tourist visas. But for a lot of the folks, now they're basically barred from the United States indefinitely. But a lot of Iranians, the ordinary Iranians, are actually very pro-American. It's one of the more pro-American countries in the Middle East, despite their government. And so now you sent a signal to the Iranian people that, hey, America doesn't want you either. And that actually could really strengthen hardliners in Iran. And those hardliners in the government might go about doing more things that undermine U.S. national security, if not directly on U.S. soil, then perhaps in Iraq, for instance, where Iranians are fighting the Islamic State parallel to the Americans and have yet to attack the Americans, but perhaps could, attack us now. So there's a lot at play here and a lot of things that are interlinked. And sometimes I think it's so simple to simply say, well, if we just don't let them in, then it's over, then the threat is gone. But actually, it could prove to be much more complicated than that.
Getting back to the lawsuits, first from Hawaii, now Washington and New York, I want to ask you to predict the outcome of any given lawsuit, but is there a sense that, yes, this thing is going to kick in when scheduled, or there's a good chance of court delays?
There's a possibility of a court delay, but from what I can tell, and again, I'm not a lawyer, but this new executive order is much more carefully drawn up. And one of the reasons that I think that perhaps there's more hesitation among some of the other states who were really angry over the first order is that you're not seeing as many line up this time to file a lawsuit on this. Some of them say that we're still studying it. We're still trying to figure out what to do. At the end of the day, one thing is really, kind of a bedrock principle that has been for a long time, which is that the executive branch really does have a lot of say on immigration policy, and they really can go pretty far in terms of how they decide to set the lines. And so it's really fascinating, actually, to see the Republicans now, like Jeff Sessions and others, defend this order and defend the president's right to set immigration policy when they were attacking Barack Obama for setting immigration policy in a different way by, for instance, slowing down deportations or giving protection to the children, the dreamers, the so-called dreamers who are in this country. And then they were saying, no, the president's overstepping his executive authority. But now they're saying, no, the president has lots of executive authority. So that's one of the most fascinating dynamics here in terms of the immigration law.
Nahal, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Nahal Tusi, foreign affairs reporter for Politico. She joined us today to talk about Hawaii's lawsuit against the Trump administration over the newest travel ban, which prevents travelers and refugees from six Muslim-majority countries from coming to the U.S., also seeing challenges now from Washington and New York.